Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Hawaii seems to be saying it's totally done with Airbnb. So what happens when a top-tier destination and the biggest home-sharing company collide? Details next in The Travel News.
Most travelers probably agree Southwest is one of the most user-friendly airlines. Well, there's another great advantage Southwest offers over its competitors, and it can put dollars in your pocket. We'll share our secret and make you a smarter traveler coming up at 3:20.
When you're talking with your favorite travel advisor about your next adventure, there are words you should and shouldn't use. At 3:35, Gwen Duncan stops in to help Tom and I dissect important travel vocabulary. What does the best, the cheapest mean when it comes to choosing travel?
We've mentioned the Wakamatsu Festival a few times here on the Travel Guys over the past year, and now it's just around the corner. It's the 150th anniversary of the first permanent Japanese settlement in our country, and it takes place in Placerville, just up the hill, less than a couple of weeks away. Final update at 3:50.
The summer travel season is upon us. We have the information to help make your travels go smoother. It's a fact. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
My friends, and a salute to all of our military who made the ultimate sacrifice for us fighting for this country. So we hope you enjoy a wonderful Memorial Day. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, officially known as the Travel and Entertainment Guys here, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, welcome back. It's been a week.
Thank you, sir.
You've been on the road. You've covered a lot of territory, seen some pretty wonderful stuff that you couldn't even talk about before you went, because it's one of the official Sports Leisure Vacations mystery tours.
We do these mystery tours three or four times a year, and I'm sure that that intrigues some of the people who are listening and say, you know, what the heck is a mystery tour?
Yeah.
Well, when we find a destination that we think that our people will really enjoy, but if we told them where we were going, they probably wouldn't buy it. And so an off-the-beaten-track place or two, sometimes a couple places together, that you can take folks and show them, teach them some things that they might not know about, show them some things they maybe have never seen before or didn't even know existed. And they are quite popular, I have to tell you. Regularly, we do three or four trips a year, depending on how many of these types of destinations we can find. And just took 33 people up to southern, southeastern Washington and northeastern Oregon, specifically to Walla Walla and Pendleton. Mm-hmm. So two kind of very different, but only 45 minutes apart cities in two different states. Walla Walla has their own. The eastern Washington area has some beautiful rolling hills and looks a little bit like our own wine country. And there are lots of wineries there, and they grow lots of grapes. And the town of Walla Walla now is full of tasting rooms. And if you didn't know better, you might think that you had wandered into the Napa Valley by accident. And just down the road is Pendleton, which is truly one of the great Western towns in the West. It's a cowboy town. We spent an entire afternoon meeting a bootmaker, a saddle maker, and a hat maker. The hat maker was absolutely fascinating, showing us how he took felt and made it, shaped it into hats and reshaped it into hats and cleaned hats and just really fascinating. I'm not much of a rodeo or a cowboy guy, but I confess that I learned really a lot. Do you know that saddles can cost as much as $50,000 or $60,000 if you have a custom made?
Wow, yeah, that's right.
Hats, if you have less than $500, don't go into a real cowboy hat place, because you're probably going to be fairly disappointed.
Now, you mentioned this is a mystery tour. You scouted this out, and you have people that travel with Sports Leisure Vacations that have learned that these oftentimes are very, very great trips, and they're a lot of fun. How often do you take a trip like this, and it starts off as a mystery tour, and then is added to your itinerary?
Oh, okay. Well, see, now, like, for example, the trip that we just took, I'm hoping next year will be a... We had a lot of fun on this trip. We did a lot of sinful things along the way. Pendleton has an underground, which at one time contained a number of brothels. We did that tour. We stopped at a hard cider and chocolate tasting pairing at 9:45 in the morning one day, so we were hitting the sauce a little early there. In Walla Walla, we took folks to a cannabis company. And the reason that we did that is because people have said, you know, there are lots of medical uses for cannabis for many years, and for hemp also. CBDs, which is something that people are becoming more familiar with. Basically, it's a salve or a drops or something that you can use, tablet that you can use as a pain reliever if you have chronic pain. And the cannabis stores sell it. It's now showing up in drugstores and all over the place. It's going to be very common. We took them to a cannabis store to explain what these were and what the difference, you know, how you can buy ones that have nothing that will make you high in it. And medically, it's a very sound thing, and it offers some pretty good pain relief, especially for folks who might have some chronic pain. So that's a long way of getting to the fact that we did some things that were really, we did a wine tasting.
A sinful trip.
It was very sinful.
Now, like I asked, might this be offered as a trip in one of your catalogs moving forward?
I think next year it will probably be back. And yesterday we stopped at the Columbia River Gorge Hotel for lunch as we were making our way back to Portland. And that's such a beautiful place. And I said to folks, I said, you know, we really should have a trip where we just came and stayed a few nights at this beautiful hotel and did things in Hood River and the surroundings. And the response was so good that exactly that's what I'm going to do next year. So it's wonderful to have people to travel with, customers, people who pay to travel with you, who offer all kinds of suggestions and things along the way. And we really had, I know I'm droning on here, but we really had a wonderful time, 35 of us just kind of tooling down the road and laughing and joking. And I think that's kind of what travel is about. Learn a little bit along the way, discover something new that you didn't know was there before, and be traveling with friends, in our case, kind of an oversized family that we really had a great time going down the road.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you know, I think people in any business find that to improve their business, the first thing and best thing you can do is listen to your customers. They'll help you make it better. All right, at the beginning of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with that being said, let's Huey Lewis and the news theme here.
There you go.
Yeah, Mark, what do you got for us in our news today?
Well, let's see here. Not surprising, after predicting the busiest Easter travel season ever and the busiest Memorial Day weekend travel season ever, which we're in the middle of, and I can tell you based on the traffic in Portland on Friday night that it could very well be true. TSA says this will be the busiest summer travel period in history. Last year, TSA agents screened 250 million plus passengers and crew. Think about that. 250 million plus.
Man.
Yeah, and included the summer season included 9 of the top 10 busiest weeks in its history during the summer season. To support the summer surge, TSA has increased airport security staffing levels, provided a 20% increase in overtime funds to local TSA leadership, and deployed additional passenger screening canine teams. Also at Sacramento, we will have some expanded screening capabilities. I think it's time to get our TSA buddies back on the radio in the next couple weeks and give us an update for folks who maybe don't travel often, or even those who do. Sometimes they've got a little hint or two that might help you get through that security line.
Excellent.
And, you know, coming in and out of Sacramento Airport a couple of times recently, I'm leaving again. I've just got to tell you, The airport is very different than it was even a couple of years ago. There are a lot more people out there than there used to be. Parking is a lot harder to come by. You have a favorite spot or something, it's probably gone. If you don't get there at 3:45 in the morning, all the spaces in the ground lot up near the terminal are gone. You're now going to have to walk in 10 or 15 minutes. You may go to your favorite parking lot and find there's no room and have to go to an alternate lot. Please, please, please allow yourself enough time. Even on those early morning flights, I know it's hard to get up and get out to the airport by, 4 o'clock in the morning or something like that. But you do everybody a favor with that extra 15, 20 minutes. It won't make that much difference in your sleep. And it will matter a lot if you get there and find, oh, my goodness, this isn't as easy as it used to be.
Well, number one, get some family and friends and buddy up and have somebody take you and drop you off.
Absolutely. Or an Uber or a Lyft. But still, the traffic leaving the airport, and there's a rush. There's a new evening rush hour at the airport that occurs between 9 and 10 p.m. at night when a lot of Southwest and a lot of the East Coast flights come in and people have their bags. And believe it or not, it's not uncommon now. I witnessed it last night to be into a traffic jam getting onto the freeway from the airport at 9:30 at night. So just be patient. It'll just take a couple minutes and you'll be on your way. Okay, here's some airline related news here. American and Southwest have raised their prices for the summer. Looks like the Department of Labor says that airfare increased by 3.5% in April year over year. And indeed, Southwest and American have announced that they have made slight increases to their fares, $5 each way, up to $10 round trip per ticket. Interestingly enough, these are the two airlines most impacted by the MAX 8 not being in the air. And on a related note, United Airlines has announced they have the MAX 9, and they have announced that they have canceled flights on their MAX planes through July. They were the only carrier that was still holding out July flights, so they've now shuffled their schedule. The earliest that the MAX is on any schedules is early August, and it does appear as though we might be moving closer to getting those planes back into the sky. Delta flight attendants are seeking class action lawsuit over new uniforms. They say that they are getting skin rashes and headaches and other health issues for what are called the passport plum uniforms that Delta Airlines attendants are wearing. Well, they say that they're scratchy and itchy and there are problems.
What did you call them? What did they call them?
They are called passport plum colored.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So that's what Delta called them. If you were lucky last week, you might have gotten what you thought was almost a free ticket from United Airlines due to a computer malfunction. A lot of people logged on and tried to use miles or cash to buy tickets from Hawaiian Airlines. And at the end, they were told that their ticket cost $11.20, which, of course, is just the airport fees. In fact, it was a computer error. Hawaiian has reached out to impacted guests to inform them that these tickets will not be honored and that they will be reimbursed for any taxes and fees. Some people were charged over $100,000 for their tickets to Hawaii.
Well, you got to make up for the ones you gave away.
That you gave away, exactly. So anyways, the rule is when it comes to mistake airfares now, the airline is allowed to correct those. And so if you buy a $2,000 ticket for $20, be aware of the fact that the airline may very well come back and say, that's not legal. Let's see here. What else have we got? Hertz has joined the crowd, changing their award pricing chart overnight. I won't go into it in great detail. It's never good for customers when award charts are changed. If you're a Hertz customer, make sure you take a look at it. And as we mentioned in the headlines, Hawaii is getting tired of Airbnb. They are starting to take some measures that would seriously restrict Airbnb in the islands. The problem here is that they're feeling that there are an awful lot of people who are cheating people who are renting Airbnbs, and they're making deals off of the platform. This is becoming a little bit of a problem. If you rent Airbnb accommodations, remember that every deal, every arrangement that you make with the person you're renting from should be done on the Airbnb platform. And if someone asks you to do something off of the platform, that should throw up a huge immediate red flag to you. If they're trying to skirt the system, then, and it's more than just a few bucks, there's a pretty good chance that it's something that you need to have more information on. So be very careful.
Yeah, you might be accidentally renting your neighbor's house while they're on vacation and they don't know it.
Well, and the Hawaiians are saying that, they've had some limits, for example, outside of Waikiki and Colina to limit properties, rental properties, just 800, they figure there are roughly six times that many that are being rented. So, and Hawaii has a pretty serious housing shortage. And what happens is when more of these rentals are put on the market, it causes the price of housing to go up and the availability of it to be very scarce for local people. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys at KFBK. Don't forget now, visit our website, travelguysradio.com, for links to most everything we talk about and lots more. Mark, you got to make us a smarter traveler or something about the advantage of the Southwest offers over its competitors that could put dollars in our pocket?
Absolutely. We have something here. I don't think this has been around for a long time, and I don't think very many people know about this Southwest fare rule. Details coming up next as we make you a smarter traveler on the Travel Guys.
I'm a leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again.
Once again, a happy Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for spending some time with the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. That's us. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, we're here to make people a smarter traveler, a way to save a couple of bucks with, particularly when you fly, most specifically, with Southwest, something that some folks know and maybe a lot of folks don't. What do you got?
And before we went to the break, after we were doing the tease there, you indicated that you were aware of this little...
I have been fortunate enough to, you know, to, how should I put it? I took advantage of this.
Yes. It helps to pay attention. If you especially, this is for people who buy a Southwest Airlines ticket. With most carriers, if you buy a ticket and then the fare goes down and you say, well, gee, I paid $150 for this ticket and now it's $125. And you go back to United Airlines and you say, gee, you know, I'd like to have this lower price. And United says, well, we'd be delighted to sell you that $150 ticket for $125. Of course, there will be the $200 change fee for your fare, or you can cancel your ticket entirely and just lose the $150, and then you can buy that $125 ticket, which, of course, is a huge pile of BS.
Yeah.
Southwest, the slightly customer user-friendly carrier, has a much better plan. If you buy a Southwest ticket, you will buy it, if you buy it 3, 4, 5, 6 months in advance, you can, if the fare drops, you can reissue that ticket, and it doesn't cost you anything. If you bought a $150 ticket on Southwest and the fare goes down to $125, you can log in online and repurchase that ticket. You will not get a cash refund unless you purchase the unrestricted fare. But if you purchase the inexpensive restricted fare, you will get a voucher from Southwest, good for travel, for a year from the original purchase date of the ticket. So it's really quite a great way to save. And if you're flying cross country, you know, if you bought a ticket that's $500 or $600, there aren't that many of them on Southwest, but there are some. You're flying, and particularly if you're flying Tuesday, Wednesday, or Saturday, those are the non-peak days. So if you're flying Tuesday, Wednesday, or Saturday, even if only one half of your trip is on one of those days, when Southwest, when the tickets go on sale, it's very likely, unless you snared a great price to start with, it's entirely possible that one direction, both directions, I've seen situations where people could save as much as $150 on a round-trip domestic ticket within the United States just by taking advantage of the fare. And of course, there are many places that you can set warnings and watches for when fares go up or down. Southwest has regular fares sales every couple of weeks. Again, if you're flying on a Friday or a Sunday, those are peak times. There's only going to be once or twice a quarter when Southwest is going to offer a discounted fare on a Friday or a Sunday. But on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Saturday, they'll do it frequently. Mondays and Thursdays, kind of in the middle. So if you keep your eyes open, you can go online and change the fare. Or here's the other beauty of Southwest. If you can't figure out how to do it yourself online, just call 1-800-IFLY-SWA, and guess what? They will not charge you for changing the ticket to a lower fare.
Yeah, they're so nice, and it's so easy. Bottom line is that once you make that change and you get that discount, they don't give it back to you in cash, but it's a credit that you can use. Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing that you need to understand is that that can expire if you stop flying. As long as you stay active and you continue to fly to different places.
And it's important to note that that credit, let's say, for example, I bought a Southwest ticket in December.
Mm-hmm.
And now in May, I said, wow, my flight's in June, but there's a great sale. I can actually get this cheaper. The credit that you get will be based on the original purchase date of the ticket. So now you've got until December to use that, you know, $5, $50, whatever it is that you've saved.
And hang on to your confirmation number, because it's the confirmation number that you will use that's associated with your original fare that has those dollars that you've saved, that credit, so that you can use it on another flight.
Southwest, like the other major carriers, requires that you have some sort of activity in your account every 24 months to save your points and your miles and all of that kind of jazz. But this is a little different thing. And here's the other really cool aspect of this. You don't have to. You can change your ticket and get a lower fare once. And if there's another lower fare out there, you go back and do it again. You can do it as many times as you find a lower fare. And if it's as little as a dollar, you can go back and change it. So it really does behoove you, especially if you're flying off-peak times or off-peak days. Another thing, if you're flying on the last flight of the night or the first flight of the morning, sometimes on Sunday morning, then you'll see a little bit of a lower price or a discount on those. So it's kind of early bird gets the worm. Southwest fare sales generally last for 5 to 7 days, and they generally take place every couple of weeks. Some of them are better than others. And once a quarter, Southwest puts those coveted Friday and Sunday seats on sale. So you really have to be paying attention. And, you know, you may find that the sale price isn't any cheaper than what you got in the first place. But it is a way to save some dollars, and it's not available from any other carrier. They all charge you a penalty to get the cheaper fare. And Southwest says, you know what? You found a cheaper fare. We're selling this ticket for less than you paid for it. Hardly seems fair that you should have to pay more. You bought it earlier and now it's cheaper, so we'll give it to you at that cheaper price. It seems like a very normal way to do business to me, but none of their competitors have picked up on that.
Well, all right. Well, that's a great tip. Like I say, I have had an opportunity. It was mainly on a flight. I'd booked it months in advance. We were headed to Orlando, and I continued to, whenever I would get an email from Southwest, it would say, time for another sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go and take a look at what particular from Sacramento destinations were on the special.
Yep.
And if you watch Southwest, Orlando is one of those destinations where they will throw that in as a discounted rate.
And it's only on nonstop flights. The sales are all on nonstop flights. So in some cases, you'll have two nonstop flights to get to your destination. So one ticket will go on sale, the other one by chance may not. So it's just something that you've got to keep an eye on. And, you know, if you've got a Southwest ticket, you know, check it once a week. Check it every Tuesday and you'll be in business, I guarantee you. Let me just point out that if you go to travelguysradio.com, we have all kinds of cool stuff there every week that we don't have time for on the air. So if you just make a visit there, you can also sign up for our podcast, but you can scroll down and see some of the things each week that we don't have time to tell you on the radio.
Next up on the Travel Guys, Gwen Duncan joins us. We're going to talk about words, specific words that you use when you're talking to your travel agent, like best, cheapest. What do they mean? What do they mean to your travel agent? Find out next here on The Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are The Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And it's time to welcome back one of our favorite guests, travel advisor Gwen Duncan.
And Gwen, you know how attached I am to lists.
Yes.
And so this is from Travelers United. I've gotten really attached to these people. I paid them $29 to join, and I've just pilfered stuff off their website like crazy.
Yeah, you're getting a commission on all the new signups.
Well, they really, it's a good site. And if you travel a lot, dare I say, the $29 might be a...
And this is not a paid advertisement,
No, it's not. Might be because I resisted joining for a long... You should join.
I probably will.
You should, because...
I join a lot of stuff, but yeah.
You probably spend a lot of money on crap that's way less valuable than this is. Anyways...
thanks a lot.
Travel agent etiquette travelers should follow. First of all, I'm not using the word travel agent anymore. I'm using the word travel advisor.
Thank you.
Travel agents have pretty much... gone by the waist. Order takers are pretty much on the telephone anymore. So if you're traveling and you're using somebody to help with your travel, it's usually somebody who knows something about what they're doing, somebody who can contribute something to the success of your trip. So this little list that Travelers United had here, Gwen, I just wanted to ask you what you thought of it, because they list five words. And by golly, when I read this, I thought, you know, they're kind of right here, because if you use these words, you're not really telling the person that is putting your package together what you want. First word, reasonable. Tom, what's a reasonable price for a hotel room to you?
Reasonable price for a hotel, huh? Well, you know, that so depends on where you're staying.
You see, already you're hedging.
Yeah, yeah. $100.
$100. See, now the number I have in mind is $200. See, now I like this. I like to stay in a Marriott. Perhaps Tom is more comfortable in a Best Western. See, I mean, right there, without knowing anything about what we had to say, to him it's 100, to me it's 200. So how does that help you when somebody comes in and says, well, find something reasonable?
The list that you have given me here is so apropos. I send out a questionnaire to find out, because the demographics and the psychographics of a traveler are so spread.
Ooh, the psycho. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Gwen digs into your psychographics.
Yeah, the psychographic is how do they envision their vacation? Mm-hmm. Some people like to lay around on a beach. Some people like to go to every museum that's out there. Some people want to be pampered at the hotel. Some people don't care if they ever see a butler. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of, that's the psychographic. And then the demographic is how much can they afford?
that's very true.
What can they afford?
If you're flying on Frontier Airlines, you're probably not staying at the Ritz-Carlton.
That's right.
So probably you get some clues when people come in your door and start talking about what hotels they stay in.
That's right.
Or
you have to ask them questions like that. Where did you stay last, or where do you stay? Most people I find want to stay in something that's equal to or better than where they live.
Okay, so the next word on the list here is nice. I want to stay in a nice place. I want to go someplace for dinner. That's nice. You know.
Do you hear that a lot, Gwen?
Yes,
people want to stay in a nice place. And what does that mean to you?
Well, to me, that means some place that's equal to or better than where I live.
That's that's a really interesting way to describe it. Equal to or better than where I live. Someplace nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a really good standard to
that's
I've never heard that.
That's what I like. But then I've got people who nice to them is having a butler.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
If you're not in you're not in a suite in a nice hotel or in a upscale hotel, then that's not quote nice.
And I've got to tell you, a family that's going on their very first cruise, the woman with two or three kids, nice to her is having somebody fix all the meals. That's and so she'll be in a carnival.
Nice
and be
is
thrilled.
Having a room she can lock the children in and go.
Exactly.
Have the only key they can't get out. Okay, so nice is another good example of something that people should qualify. Now here are two words together. There's only five here, so three and four on the list are early late. Let's do this. Let's play for fun again. Are you a breakfast guy, Tom?
I am.
Okay, so what's the standard time you get up in the morning?
Around 8.
Around 8, and you're a breakfast guy?
Well, yeah. Why? What is breakfast?
I'm not a breakfast guy, and I get up at 6:37.
You know, is breakfast at 9 not breakfast anymore? Is that now falling into the brunch category?
This is really not
helpful. He's an early breakfast.
Yeah, he's.
Well, you got to understand. That's early for a semi-retired guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Breakfast.
See, you're a working man. I mean, you've got all kinds of things to take care of. You better get up at 6 o'clock, or that company of yours is going to be in trouble. Me, you know, I need to get my beauty rest. Clearly, by looking at me, you can tell I could use a lot of that. So
We're talking with Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel, and we're talking about a list. a list you're a travel agent etiquette travelers should follow, to be specific. So when folks are talking to their travel advisor, we've already talked about the word reasonable and the word nice, how non-specific they are. That's sort of what these words are about, words that are non-specific. And now early and late. And of course, as we're kind of pointing out here, I have a lot of people who travel with me who get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And boy, if breakfast isn't served by 6:30 or 7 at the latest, they're really disappointed. They're waiting at the door for it to open.
But it isn't just the meals. It's the flight times, you know.
Yeah,
do they want to leave early or do they want to arrive at their destination?
That's important stuff.
Yeah, that's important stuff. The flight thing, because most people, they think, well, the flight leaves at 7, so, you know, I'll get to the airport at 6, I'll leave home at 5:30, yeah. I'll get up at 5. Well, you know, if you do that in Sacramento, you're going to be screwed.
Toast.
The airport's a lot different than it was a year or so ago.
Right, and some people, you know, don't want to start their vacation off tired by getting up at a time that they never get up. Four o'clock to get out to the airport to get a god awful early flight in my world.
Guess what though? If you're at the airport at 4 o'clock, you have a wide choice of places to park.
Yes.
Then the guy who gets there,
sleep on the plane.
The poor SOB who gets there at 5:30 and he's got to park 20 minutes from the terminal and walk in. And gosh, allow yourself that extra time. Okay, early late are two others that are on our list here. And the very last one on the list is best.
And that was probably the most popular one that I get.
Okay.
What's the best cruise liner? What's the best tour operator for this country?
I've probably done this before. You go to the front desk of the hotel. Hey, well, what's the best place to eat around here tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so the guy, almost no matter where you go, he can't possibly win, because if you go out and you come back and you say, how was that? You say, oh, well, it was okay. And the guy's thinking, wow, you know, gosh.
You get a lot of that when people are booking with you, Gwen, that they want the best this or the best that. Do you have a follow-up question that you ask them to help clarify what it is that they're looking for?
Well, like, we sell a lot of cruises.
Okay.
And so the people, I have to ask them, well, you know, did they want something unique? Did they want a large vessel with a lot of activities? Who's traveling with them? Because if it's a multi-generational aim that I have to have in finding the right vendor, maybe they're celebrating something significant. They don't want to be with a whole bunch of kids. Maybe they want to be in something that's a little bit more.
It's picking the right boat, the right destination.
Exactly. And then, of course,
with cruises, you know, best is really up to your personal taste.
That's right.
We've talked about cruises on the program before, you know, and if you're a single couple, you're looking for a party boat. If you're seniors, you're looking for
a single couple.
A couple of singles.
Oh, okay. See, a couple without children.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Let's say a wedding.
Swingers
cruise.
Is what you're talking
there
about.
There you go. Versus a swinger senior cruise.
Yeah.
It's going to be looking for
and a lot of people,
a different kind of threesomes.
They're not looking at value. They're looking at price. And that's when
conversation
really
has deteriorated here all of a sudden.
But value and price are two different things. And that's another thing you're talking about.
Ever have people come in and ask for things like, you know, naked cruises or things that are really off the beaten? Really?
I had a couple come in and ask. They wanted to go to, it was called, it's on Jamaica. You have to be naked at the resort. And they got a nude and prude section, and they wanted to go there. And I was dumbfounded.
Our guest today on The Travel Guys is Gwen Duncan. We've been talking about the list of five items here, words that you shouldn't use. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can see this list. And all kidding aside, if you are purchasing your travel and you have a travel advisor who's helping you, these are words that you need to qualify when you talk to them. Gwen, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Coming up next, the Wakamatsu Festival is just around the corner, the 150th anniversary of the first permanent Japanese settlement in our country. Takes place right up the street in Placerville in a couple of weeks. Final update next on The Travel Guys.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just
just what I've got.
Hello again, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations here on KFBK. And again, follow along with and a link to our special guest we're about to introduce to you at TravelGuysRadio.com. It's time again to talk about the upcoming Wakamatsu Festival, Mark.
Melissa Lobach is joining us. Melissa's with the ARC Conservancy, and they are hosting this event. Welcome back to the Travel Guys, Melissa.
Thank you very much for having me again.
And we don't often have guests on more than once to talk about local events, but we've talked about this before, and now it's coming up. We first talked about it last summer. I was first attracted to this, Melissa, simply by the fact that of all the Japanese folks who have ended up on the in the west coast of the United States, for the first permanent Japanese settlement to be just up the road from Sacramento in Placerville, of all places, it just kind of struck me as something unusual and different and fun. So, and now you folks are celebrating your 150th anniversary. So give us a little bit of quick, the Reader's Digest condensed version of the history. How is it that the first settlement ended up in Placerville? Where did these folks come from? Was there a reason that they left Japan? Tell us a little bit about that.
So the colonists were fleeing the aftermath of a civil war in Japan known as the Boshin War, and they were led over to America by a German to start a tea and silk colony and farm in Placerville.
Why did they pick Placerville? Do you have any idea?
That is not well documented, but the leader of the group, John Henry Schnell, did look around at different locations in America and settle on the Gold Hill area.
Tell us, Melissa, when the folks get to the festival, like, for example, we have a motor coach load of Sports Leisure travelers who are coming to help you celebrate. When they get there and they get off the coach and they're at the festival, what will happen? What will they see? What will they do?
Yes, every day of the festival, we'll have three simultaneous stages offering entertainment like taiko, koto flute, Japanese folk dancing, sword play, martial arts. Demonstrators are going to share performances of archery, ikebana, bonsai, woodblock printing, ink painting, haiku, origami, and also silkworm rearing, weaving, and spinning. And Japanese tea masters are going to perform traditional tea services. Lecturers are going to talk about the Wakamatsu colony history and ancestry, and trained docents will tell the story of the farm's history. Oh, and by the way, every day of the festival, visitors will be treated to the world premiere play of Gold Hill Samurai, which brings to life the story of the Wakamatsu colony from 1869 to 1871. We're going to have booths, food trucks, merchandise, and nonprofits, including the California State Parks, going to share information about Japanese American history. We'll have historic displays of artifacts from the colonists. And, of course, we're also going to welcome some really incredible visitors from Japan to our festival and event.
I was going to ask you about that. You have some celebrities coming?
Yes, certainly in Japan, these people are considered very important dignitaries. In fact, we're expecting the heir of the Tokugawa shogunate, Mr. Hiro Tokugawa, to join us. His ancestors ruled Japan for over 260 years. We're also expecting the descendant of the clan lord leader who sent the colonists over to Japan. So Mr. Matsudaira also joins us. We've got a member of the Japanese parliament, and we are expecting over 50 people to join us from Aizu Wakamatsu in Japan.
So, Melissa, let me jump in here. The dates of the festival are the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. Of June, so it's coming up here very soon. Is there a charge to come to the festival? Is there an admission fee?
Yes, there is, and tickets are available for the festival on the festival website, and also passes, multi-day passes.
And the cost is?
The weekday tickets are $15 for general admittance, and the weekend tickets are $20.
Okay, and if you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, you will find a link to the site about the Wakamatsu Festival, and you can find all about the activities, tickets, and all of those things. And we'll see you in Placerville in just a couple of weeks. Thank you, Melissa, for your time again today.
Thank you for having me.
What an amazing story, Mark. I mean, I never knew until you came in one day and says, we're gonna talk about the Wakamatsu Festival. Yeah. And I'm going like, what's that? And I mean, it's historical and it's just up the street in Placerville. Should be a spectacular event.
Well, and if it doesn't keep raining until into June, who would have expected 3.5? I mean, can you imagine how many weddings and how many special events and everything people said, well, you know, the weekend before Memorial Day, I mean, that'll be fine. Memorial Day weekend, that'll be fine. I mean, the weather will be warm, but not too hot, but monsoonish. Like,
you know, people should have thought ahead and said, let's have a snow wedding.
Uh-huh.
You know,
what's going to happen is it's going to turn 115 for the rest of the summer now. That's going to be payback.
However, the resorts are talking skiing on the 4th of July.
Yes, well, year. I talked to the man from Mammoth Mountain, and he's pretty, with this latest shot, the tourism people from Mammoth are pretty certain that they will be skiing into August this year, which has only happened a couple of times. All right, I have a thing here from Delta Airlines, Tom. These, you know, a lot of stuff comes across my desk, and I know some of it comes across yours, and some of it's of great value, but some of it is just unadulterated stuff that somebody has put together that really doesn't have a whole lot of value. This is something from Delta Airlines. It's a perfect example of that. 6 tips from Delta for navigating the busy summer travel season. So they've got here on a fairly short article, 6 items that they say of great importance to help you get through the summer travel season. The first one is arrive on time.
Okay,
you know, give yourself plenty of time at the airport.
That's a good start.
We're always talking about that. So, and it's talking about, you know, be aware of airport construction and traffic, you know, days of the week and stuff. We talk a little bit about that. Here's another good one. The second one is also legit. Go digital with the Fly Delta app. I would say to you that if you're flying on an airplane these days, you need to have the app for the carrier on your phone, because that way when your connection gets tight or something's going wrong or you want to change your seat or, you know, there's a plethora of things that you can do that way. And really and truly, you've got a cell phone, so you need to have the app on the phone. Turn the phone on when your plane lands. Make sure your connecting flight is still on time and where it's leaving from. So the app, that's another legitimate.
And may I recommend that if you've only had the app for a short period of time, you hear mm-hmm. this broadcast, so you go and download it, go there and play around with it. Understand where to go if you need to change a flight. Apps are great, but if you don't understand how to use them, then they're useless. And even, in fact, even worse than that, because you can just stand there and get more and more confused and frustrated. So learn your app. Practice ahead of time.
That's
okay.
That's really a good thing. You've got a trip booked on United. Just go to the United app and look up your trip mm-hmm. and play around a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah, no, that's
be careful that you don't accidentally change it by mistake.
All right. So here's the third tip, and this one is kind of sort of legit. Save time and breeze through airport lines. Available at 28 airports across the country. Clear lets you speed through security. Not available here in Sacramento yet, but at some point perhaps, with just a touch of a finger or a blink of an eye. So this is just it's pre-check on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a legitimate idea. It's not going to apply to everybody. But then we kind of sort of get into these things that really know your carry-on limits. Delta customers are welcome to carry on 1 bag and 1 personal item on board free of charge. Just make sure they fit into the overhead bin or under the seat in front of you. So they've completely gone away from the sizer at the gate, and they've just said, if you can stuff the damn thing in the overhead or you're willing to put up with it under your seat, then go ahead and bring it. You know, 3 dogs, 4 bags.
Are you saying that, like at Delta, they don't have the little box anymore?
That's what this is saying.
Interesting. Because, I mean, a lot of people, I see people with luggage, and I'm going, nah, that would never fit in the thing, and it won't even go in the... But yet, there they go on the plane, and they do manage to get them in.
I watched a lady last night on Southwest Airlines mm-hmm. cram a bag. She tried to put it in everywhere possible, and it wouldn't go in wheels first.
Right.
Or you flip it. Sometimes they'll fit. Hers wouldn't fit. It stuck out 3 or 4 inches. So instead of moving it to another bin or anything, she just left it there and sat down.
Oh, my.
And I thought to myself, you know what's going to happen is this flight attendant's not going to notice that until we're pretty much done boarding.
Yeah, until she starts to push the
door. So now there won't be any place to put it, whereas if you corrected the situation now, and that's exactly what happened, the lady's bag had to be gate checked. She threw a temper tantrum. Mm-hmm. And the Southwest flight attendant at one point, finally, she said to the lady, she said, if you don't sit down in your seat right now, you're not going to go on this flight.
Ooh.
So fortunately for the lady, she sat down. But again, it the whole thing of trying to get whatever you can, then they've got one of their tips is keep tabs on the weather. Well, come on. If you're traveling and you're not at least giving some cursory glances at the airport that you're landing at and the one that you're connecting at, then you probably shouldn't be let out by yourself. Stay connected and entertained along the way. And then it starts talking about all of Delta's wonderful, the things that you can do on the plane, some of which you have to pay for and stuff. My point, I guess, to all of this is that when you're reading these lists of tips and stuff like that, look at who wrote them, because there may be a legitimate tip or two like there is on this list. And then quickly it evolves to a self-promotional sort of thing where their tips all surround things that you might, you know, be more comfortable. Consider Delta Comfort Class and you'll be more comfortable on the plane. Well, OK, I suppose that's a tip, but that doesn't quite fit into the same category as getting to the airport on time. We are just about to the end of this road of the Travel Guys. We've talked about the festival up the street. Gwen Duncan has joined us. Thank you for that. Gwen is always very generous with her time. Next week, we're going to do something a little bit special. The summer travel season is coming up, so we're going to dedicate the next couple weeks to tips for summer travel. And we did a wonderful interview with the airport director in Sacramento. So we are going to, and it ran on Easter Sunday weekend. So we know that probably some folks were busy. There's a lot of great information in that. So that will run again next weekend in the back half of the show. I will be on the road seeing some baseball games, probably our hapless Giants and some other folks. And then we'll be back again with you. Of course, the news and everything will be live next week.
There you go, folks. Don't forget now, all we talk about and more can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark?
Thank you for joining us. Remember to dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next week at 3 o'clock.
Stay well, my friends. See you next time.